Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 82, It's Not a Blanket, It's a Color Carrier. You'll get the reference later. It's Thursday, yes, Thursday. Will I get this posted on Thursday? Remains to be seen, but right now it is April 5th, 2012. It's about 10 o'clock, and I'm tired, but I've already taken pictures. Not many pictures. I have a picture of the hexagon garden quilt with its border, and picture of my delightful little yo-yos, the two that I've made. I thought this was going to be like big yo-yo week. That's all I was going to do all week at night was make yo-yos, and that has not happened. So much has not happened this week. Things have happened, and I've gotten some stuff done. But for one thing, I thought I would have cleaned my carpet by now. And I have not. My friend Sarah lent me her carpet cleaner last week. And my thought was I was going to get it done Thursday, last Thursday. And then the man decided he was going to work from home. Actually, I think he had to work at night, and so often when he has to work at night, he works at home. And then he had time during the day to do things like work in the garden and mow the lawn. And I thought, what would be the use of cleaning the living room carpet if the man is home all day doing gardening work and tramping inside and out over and over again? No use whatsoever. There has not been a perfect day since. I thought I was going to do it this morning. Now, I thought it was going to rain this morning, and that would be good because I would be able to do it right after breakfast. But no, it was sunny, so I took out Travis on our morning walk. We need our morning constitutional, so I did that, and then I did this and that. So yes, that has not happened, but it will, because sooner or later I'm going to have to give this carpet cleaner back, although Sarah says not to worry about it because she has three children, all one of whom is like two, the other is four, and then Gavin, who is eight, going on nine. In any event, she sees no reason to clean her carpet until they're all out of the house and in college, which I understand. Part of me is like, why? Why are you bothering? But I will. Okay. It's been a good week. I hope you have been having a good week. I want to let you know here in this introductory part of the podcast, how you can contact me. I always appreciate comments and emails and iTunes reviews. If you'd like to comment, you can come over to offkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and then there's also offkilterquilt.podbean.com, and you can email me at fdow@nc.rr.com. Many ways to get in touch, and I do appreciate everyone who takes the time. I even appreciate it if you just think about it and I get your good vibes. Want to say thanks to Sherry D, who had some good advice about plastic containers. Last week I talked about how I'm going to store my scraps that I'm cutting into various sizes. She says, if you do go with plastic containers, really watch how they open. I have a few shoebox-sized ones that King Kong would find challenging to get a banana out of. And, you know, that's a really good point, and I will keep that in mind. I have to say I'm leaning toward the Travis is here with his toy. Yes, because you know what? This is a house full of boys and a man. And who does he come to play with? Me. Go figure. Anyway, so I have a feeling that I might end up with plastic boxes just because nothing else is coming to me. But I did think maybe I'll try to get them secondhand. It'll give me an excuse to go over to Everything But Granny's Panties and see if they've got any plastic boxes. I was at Goodwill the other day. I'm making a costume for Will for next week for his big state project. He has to dress up like Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox. Now, if he were actually dressing up as a swamp fox, that would be fun, but he's just going to dress up like a colonial dude. Anyway, at Goodwill, I thought, you know, they had a lot of interesting containers, but it was crowded, and I didn't have the time to really investigate containers, so I may go back and look there. Anywho, thanks to Sherry. Thanks to Noni. And she says that her grandma had a yo-yo quilt, which she placed over a white bed. and her white bed cover in her guest room. And that's what I was thinking. That would look really nice, that exact look. Boy, I love yo-yos. Hello, Vivian. And Vivian last week had recommended a medallion book, and I commented that a lot of the copies were very expensive. She said, I didn't even look at the price. Yeah, I know. It was shocking. But there are actually much less expensive used copies. So, and she mentioned, a couple of people mentioned Bonnie Hunter's Quiltville Scrap Saver System. And I did go check that out. Daisy of Lazy Daisy Quilts also brought that up. And it's one of those things you're like, oh, yeah, she's very scrappy, this Bonnie Hunter. I knew that. And she does have a whole thing about what cuts she does and how she organizes. It's really a lot of fun. So if you haven't investigated, go over to Bonnie Hunter at Quiltville and see what she's got to say. She's very, very scrappy. So thank you, Vivian. And she says, she ends it with saying, okay, going back into the background, really. But Vivian, don't go into the background. Stay in the light. Hello, Kristen. And Kristen was concerned because she couldn't find me on Pinterest, but then she did. I have no idea how to find me on Pinterest. Frances Dow, that's my name on there. So that's Dowell. Find me on Pinterest. I haven't done a ton. I love looking over there. It's one of those sites where I feel like I could just get lost forever. So now we are friends. I've made several new Pinterest quilty friends this week. Yay! Here's the funny thing. She said, so I talked about the loading dock Santa quilt again last week. And she said, and Kristen, since you posted this in a public forum, I hope you won't mind me saying, she said she could relate in this way. I feel, that's Kristen, Kristen feels like she is the only person in the world who does not care for cave facet fabrics. People go on and on about them, and when I look at them, I think gaudy. You know, this is so funny because I really like K-Facet except when I hate K-Facet. I have several pillows that I have made with K-Facet fabrics, and I have K-Facet fabrics in my quilts, but some of them I look at, I'm like, eeh. So he's funny. He's interesting. But no, so I don't think you're actually wrong to think gaudy. Some of them I think gaudy, but others I think, ah, divine. So it's funny. Taste is funny. Heard from Kelly the Fifth. And heard from Tori and Denise in Pennsylvania. Yay! And who else? Oh, and Daisy. And she also mentioned the Bonnie Hunter Scrap User System. And she does suggest cutting, and this is both Bonnie and Daisy, scraps into sizes that play well together, 1.5 inches, 2, 2.5, and 3.5, but not 3, because 3s do not work well with all the other sizes. So I have been cutting a lot of 3.5s. But you know, now that I'm doing yo-yos, which I have been doing, I talk about this in the week. Hate to spoil that surprise, but it's true. Got a yo-yo maker. I have been cutting out am I doing fives? No, you know, it's not. I'm sorry. Whole different thing. 5.5. I had been cutting out fives and to do the yo-yos, and then I realized I really needed to be doing 5.5. So, bah. But the good thing about doing scraps is now I can cut those fives into 2.5 squares. So there you go. No waste. There's no waste. It's all good. So thank you to everyone who took the time to comment. Again, appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate you just thinking about it. But if you got the time, drop me a comment just to say, hey, there will be a couple pictures, as I've said. So come over to the WordPress site, the Off Kilter Quilt, and see. Tell me what you think. They're not overwhelming pictures. You've seen it all before. And the yo-yos kind of look silly. One's much bigger than the other. But that's how it goes. I've just done two. I'll get better. All right, well, it's heading on to 40 minutes, so let's go on and get started with the quilt diaries. I have edited them a little bit, and it's late. I don't know that I will edit them anymore, so sorry if there's a lot of ums and ohs. Speaking of which, if you have not gone over to Seamed Up, to their blog, go over and read Jay's post, which I think came up last week. I think she posted it last week. She did a guest post. Really interesting stuff about the future of quilting. Jay, I tried to leave a comment and was not able to. I don't know why. But really, really interesting stuff. And she mentioned something about podcasts and as sort of big quilting business starts to notice podcasts, that you know, there may be some pressure on podcasters to get more professional and cut out some of our ums. And that's going to be really hard for people like me. Some people are very smooth talkers. I can be. And then other times, I'm nothing but the So didn't get all the ums edited out this time. Next week, let's dream. We'll dream on it. All right then, Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012. A beautiful day. Beautiful, 75 degrees, sunny, a light breeze. I went to lunch with my neighbor Amy, and we went to the garden store after lunch, and I bought lavender, eucalyptus, and peppermint. I'm going to do an herb garden this year where I had my flower garden last year. I think I'll have flowers as well, but my big dream is to one day just have a big lavender field out in the front yard. I have not convinced the man that this is the best thing in the world, although I do note that if it were a big field of lavender, he wouldn't have to mow it. Wouldn't that be nice? And it would smell good. And lavender is so pretty. So I got, I think, 3 or 4 lavender plants and 2 eucalyptus plants. I just like how eucalyptus smells. So exciting. It's that time of year. We've already got lots and lots of tomatoes that the man planted from seed and grew under lights, and now they're on the porch being hardened off. I don't think we're going to get another frost. Our last frost date is typically April 15th, but the weather is very different this year, so I think we're safe. Quilty news. I had a very fun weekend with one of your favorite people. Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us was in town. She actually came down to see an exhibit, a quilt exhibit at NC State on, essentially Quilters in Exile. These are quilts and textiles made by refugees. And that's right in her wheelhouse. So she came down and we got to spend some time together while she was here. You know, she's on sabbatical, and that's one of the things she's doing, is making the study of women and textiles and all that, the stuff that she loves. So, as is often the case when you have company, you end up going places that you've always meant to go but never have gone to. And in this case, we went to a quilt shop that is in Raleigh, in North Raleigh. I think it's called Wish Upon a Quilt. And it was really neat. It was a small shop, but packed in with lots of good things. Not as wide of a variety or selection as Thimble Pleasures, but lots more pre-cuts and just and fun. A good selection of batiks, a good selection of modern fabrics. The store is 4 years old, and they've got a bunch of stuff going on. There are a lot of giveaways, and come on Saturday because it's our 4th birthday, and I got some tickets, and if I come, I might win big prizes. And they have a whole system. If you spend so much every time you come, they write down how much you spend, and it's some la la la. It was all good. I mean, they're really trying hard. And it was a nice shop, and it was busy. So we had fun, and we went to Thimble Pleasures, of course. And I bought border fabric for Hexagon Garden. And it was fun having Sandy there because she helped me pick. Now, you have to be very careful about going shopping with Sandy. First of all, she'll just start putting stuff in your hands and saying, buy this. She did that at Hampton. She made me buy a lot of fabric there. And she started doing that at Wish Upon a Quilt. And yeah, okay, I did buy some of the stuff that she said, oh, you need to buy this. Oh, you do. Be careful going shopping with this woman. She's dangerous. But she was very helpful in helping me decide what fabrics to pick. We decided for Hexagon Quilt to do just one border, and it's a grayish, greenish, let me look, what is it, it's over here, it's really kind of grayish, greenish, dark, it's a dark grayish, greenish, and then the binding is a pink, a really bright pink. It's going to look fabulous. One of the things I'm going to do when I finish recording today is cut the borders and attach them. And the other thing I got was a, now I can't think of what it's called. I want to say popcorn. I want to say jelly roll. I want to say pinwheel. It's not one of those things. Where's my brain? You know what I'm talking about? I am talking about the, I'm going to have to stop and gather my thoughts. Did you guess? Yo-yo, which is not a food product. I don't know why I'm thinking food products here. But I got a yo-yo maker. I got a large, it may have actually been the extra large. There was a humongous one, jumbo. But this claimed that it would create yo-yos that are about 2.5 inches in diameter. And that is, in fact, what is done. I've made two. I made yo-yos while watching Mad Men the other night, and it took a little bit for me to figure out what I was doing, but I've got two darling yo-yos. They're so cute, and I think once I actually get in the rhythm, I probably could make a lot. And so, in fact, the fabric that Sandy forced onto me is my yo-yo fabric, and it's very fun. One of them is Michael Miller, called Nearby Floral. It's pinks and aquas and red and white flowers. It's very pretty. And the other one I don't have in front of me, but it was really cute too. Oh, I have it behind me on the chair. This one is tiny little flowers, little red flowers with white petals, tiny, tiny. This is also Michael Miller, and this is called Sweet Posy. Very cute. The background color is aqua. So now I'm on to the whole aqua red thing that we've got going, the pinkish red. And so I'm going to make yo-yos out of that and all sorts of colors. I'm just going to have a yo-yo good time. They're so cute. They're darling. Good for the car, huh? Good for the car. So when I get off, I will do my borders, and then I will continue cutting out stars for, well, I'm not cutting out stars. I'm actually cutting out squares for Rick's star quilt. I'd like to get that done in the next couple days and probably do a little bit of scrap cutting. Someone, can't remember who, it'll come up when I go over the comments, suggested, of course, Bonnie Hunter's site. It is Bonnie Hunter, right? I want like Bonnie Parker. No, that's Bonnie of Bonnie and Clyde. But I think it's Bonnie Hunter. You know who I'm talking about. Scrappy Bonnie has lots of information about cutting scraps on her site. So I do need to go check that out. It will help continue to inspire me. I've just found Will's in one of his things where he's like, I need to make money. How can I make money? And of course, when they do that, you say, well, yeah, I have a job I would really like done. And then they don't want to do that job. And you're like, well, you know, I'm not making work for you. This is a real job. Well, he actually, he hasn't finished the job, but he did start. We have a couple wicker trunks that the man gave me for Christmas many, many years ago. I think they were from Pottery Barn. And the big one is just filled with junk. It used to be the toy box back when in the days of lots of little plastic thingies. And it's just, you know, when we moved into this, we just moved it. We just picked it up and moved it. And so I said, you know, I really need that cleaned out. And essentially, I mean, try to keep an eye out for art supplies and if there's any fabric. But otherwise, just throw it away. You know, I mean, you know I've got throwing away guilt, but I just decided it's just got to go. No one has the 20 hours it would take to really sort through everything. I'm going to try to make up for it in other ways, but just throw, if it's junk, if it's trash, just throw it out. And he did actually a really good job. He didn't quite finish it. There's still a bit to be done. But what came out was, and it's on the floor, you can hear the bag. Oh, it all fell out of the bag. Excellent. Were scraps from a quilt I did long ago for my friend Catherine when she had her baby. So it's really been several years. It's I should find the picture and put it up because it was not really well done. I didn't know what I was doing. I think it was right before I took my first quilting class over at Thimble Pleasure. So it was 2 years ago. And, you know, I was just making it up. But it's really cute fabric. I think it's Moda. I think I did get it at Thimble Pleasures. By that time, I was going and spending all my money at Thimble Pleasures. And some of it, I think, may go make very nice yo-yos. Why? I want to call them popcorn balls. Why? Why? Anyway, so, but that quilt is very kind of humorous to me now. Fortunately, you know, the muggles, they don't know. They don't know when a quilt's not good. I'm sitting here, now I have all these scraps on my lap. There, I'm just going to throw them over there, scraps. Off with you. So, but he did find that, so that was good. I'd forgotten all about it, and that's going to make some really nice scraps for me. So that's the report. Had a nice visit with Sandy while she was in town. And the other thing I discovered, we were on Sunday, we're hanging out together a little bit, and she was going to go to the exhibit, and I was just tired at that point. So I live here. I can go another time. I hope I will. My friend Amy, who I had lunch with today, I mentioned it to her. She's like, oh, I've been meaning to go there, to that. And so we might go together. Yay. So Sandy was like, well, I've got a little bit of time. Maybe I'll go to another quilt store. And so we started looking up quilt stores in the area. And it turns out there are tons, not in Durham. Durham, we've just got the one. Well, Durham, actually, we have zero. Thimble Pleasures is in Chapel Hill. But in the area, there are really a whole bunch. So I'm going to actually do my own shop hop here at some point and go around. And maybe I'll pick up charm packs and do some giveaways. I linked up to Sandy's giveaway because, you know, she is celebrating her second year of podcasting, the end of her second year of podcasting. Yay, wahoo! And is doing some giveaways, and other podcasts are linking up. And I linked up, and then I realized, oh, I'm supposed to give something away too. I'm like, I don't know what I have right now to give away. But then I went on Twitter, my little cocktail party, with my other cocktail party Twitter quilty friends. And I said, well, what would you think about books? And I said, what should I give away? And somebody actually said books. And then I said, you don't think that would be too weird? And they're like, no. So I may give, so, I mean, when I say books, I mean my books, books that I've written, which frankly have a lot. Every time a new edition of a book comes out, the publisher sends me a bunch. And, you know, some books, I have some books that have really hung in there over the years. And so I get 4 or 5 new copies a year, and that adds up. And then a book of mine called Falling In just went into paperback. So they sent me 20 paperbacks. And, you know, I'm not going to sell them. Fortunately, you know, there's always birthdays. The boys have friends like, oh, give them this. But anyway, so I might do that. I haven't quite decided, but I might. I need to get on that because I think I need to link up this week. I think that's it for right now. I will be back more, and I will be back more. I will be back soon with more to tell you. Exciting quilting news to tell you. I know you can't wait. Well, you don't even have to, because while it may be a day or two for me, for you, just a second. I'll be back. Quilt Diary, Day 1, Part 2. It's late now. It's 11, and I just finished putting the borders on the hexagon garden quilt. And they're not really laying flat. And that's because the quilt itself doesn't really lay flat. This is not a quilt that screams competence or highly skilled quilter. But you know what it does scream? Color. And so I've decided that some quilts, their jobs are simply to be bearers of color. They're color bearers. They're bearers of the colorscape. Yes. And this has made me feel better about this quilt, that I actually don't feel all that bad. Can you hear? I'm feeling froggy. I'm sounding very froggy. I'm also talking quietly because supposedly people are upstairs and sleep. Ha! In any event, yes. So that's what this quilt is. It is a color bearer. That is B-E-A-R-E-R. A color carrier. Its job is to carry color into the world. It doesn't have to be flat to do that. The borders don't have to lie flat in order to do that. When I put on the binding, it won't have to lie flat. Although binding is not kind of a lying flat kind of thing. But you know what I mean. Perfection in form is not this quilt's job. Carrying color into the world is this quilt's job. And I wanted to share that with you. So the next time you put together a quilt that doesn't come together just perfectly, the points don't match. The points fall off the map, quite frankly, which happening in this quilt as well. This is the Acid Kool-Aid Test Hexagon Garden Quilt. You know what? That's okay, because that's not its job. Apparently, that quilt's job is to carry color into the world. So we can all rest easy. Good night. Quilt Diary, Day 2, Part 1. Probably Part 1 of 1, but you never know, given last night's little addition to the Quilt Diary. Anyway, it's Wednesday, it's April 4th, and in a quilty update, I cut many squares today. I'm working on Rick's Star Quilt, and I've decided I need to start doing some stacking and whacking. I haven't been doing that. I'm not sure why not. One, I need to change my blade on my rotary cutter. Yeah, I'm lazy. And two, I'm always a little concerned about accuracy once you work with more than, say, 2 layers of fabric. But this is going slowly, and I'm ready to get on to the next step with this quilt and start putting some blocks together. So I think I'm going to put on a new blade tomorrow and stack and whack my fabric. I also am pondering the backing for the hexagon garden quilt. I've gotten out all the fabrics I can find that went into the quilt. I don't know if I have quite enough to do an interesting pieced back. I have to think about this. This is a time
versus money question, because I know I could take the top two simple pleasures and buy a nice piece of batik fabric that would be a wonderful back, or I can use the fabric I already have and make and piece a back that will take a lot longer. I'm not necessarily against doing that. Here's the thing, and this is important. This is a quilt, and I do think I'll probably hold on to this. I pondered whether it was going to work in my family room, but I think it will. But it's not hanging on a wall. So the back matters, and that it's going to be a quilt that it conceivably is just will be used and will be around, and the back will be observed carefully, I'm sure, by all who come in, you know, but it will be a back with presence, and therefore, you know, I can mess around with the leftover fabric I have that I used in the front part of the quilt. And if this were a quilt going on a wall, then I would probably just be wonky and weird with it and not really worry too much. But now I'm a little bit like, it needs to present. So it is possible that I'll just go buy a couple yards of whatever it is that will look best, perhaps a nice pink, something that, in fact, it's possible the binding that I got for it is a very bright pink, and it's possible that would make a nice back as well. We shall ponder and consider, and I'll get back to you on that. I bought Quilt Life today, the April 2012 issue, which will be on display until May 14th, 2012. A fun issue. I like Quilt Life. That's another one I need to bring up whenever I list my favorite quilting magazines. I would put it up there with Quilting News and McCall's Quilting. I like the fact that it's lots and lots of articles. I think there's usually a pattern or two, but it's much more article-oriented, which I really appreciated. And it feels very good in your hand. Listen, you can... What is that made of, this cover? It's like vinyl. It's like a vinyl cover. I don't know why, but it feels fabulous. A lot on art quilts. The whole issue is really about... the issue is entitled Pulling from the Past, Quilts Born from Art, Legends, History, Religion, and Our Very Own Lives. And Alex Anderson herself has a really interesting article about essentially everything new is old, or everything old is new again. Let me find it. And yes, everything old is new again is what it's called. And it's about vintage quilts, essentially how vintage quilts, antique quilts, a lot of times are very modern looking. And she starts out talking about taking a class with Gwen Marston in 2002, of which I'm very jealous. I would love to take a class with Gwen Marston. I'd love to take a class with Alex Anderson, for that matter. And she offers a quote from Gwen. What I know about quilts, I've learned from studying antique quilts. They have been my teachers. The characteristics that I find inspiring, and many of them, are originality, innovation, unpredictability, spontaneity, unrestrained use of color, and little unexpected surprises, all of which contribute to their artfulness. And Alex then goes on to talk about looking at old quilts and how a lot of times they don't follow the rules, and sometimes that's out of necessity. You know, in the old days, you couldn't just go to the Fat Quarter shop online and have them deliver you some fabric in the next few days. Fat Quarter shop, I have to say, they are fast. I like them. They are fast. You know, I mean, you used what you had. It was not, the olden days was not a time of all the stuff that we have and all the readily available fabric. And so there were design decisions that were just made, like, here's what I've got. Here's how I can make it work. And often that led to really interesting design choices. Alex's discussion made me think about a book that I have that I've actually been meaning to mention to Pam over at Hip to Be a Square, who is considering becoming a quilt appraiser. Very exciting. This is called Warman's Vintage Quilts, Identification and Price Guide. And I got it, I'm trying to think. Last time we were in Kentucky, and my dad always takes us to nice price books and lets us buy books. And by us, I mean all his children, their spouses, and the grandchildren. The children and the spouses tend to be fairly restrained, and the grandchildren go nuts, especially Jack. He always gets the most. But this was a nice book. The original price was $24.99, and this is half price books, so their price, $12.48. And one of the things going through, it's a really, Pam, if you don't have this book, you should get it. It is so much fun to look at. You learn a lot about quilts and a lot about quilt history, and it is as Alex says. All things are probably as Alex says. These quilts are wildly modern looking. There's one I'm looking at right now, turned it to it randomly, called a spider's web top. Now, it's not dated, just 20th century, but it's done in red and white fabric. It looks like it could have been in the Red and White Show, which actually may have had antique quilts. Maybe it was in the Red and White Show, that one last year in New York. Here's a string-pieced four-point star quilt, circa 1900, maker unknown, United States. The description, multicolored cotton scraps, hourglass centers with four string piece points, white cotton, diamond spacers, coarse white cotton back to front, self-binding, hand-quilted outline. By the way, worth between $250 and $400. Totally modern looking. And that's what is shocking to me over and over. And in the article, Alex Anderson mentions Amish quilts. And I think she talks about one maybe that her mother had from the 30s and how just totally modern it looks. This book, I have to say, is so fun. Now, there are some older quilts and there are some more traditional quilts, but they're crazy quilts and just stuff, again, as she was saying, people made do and made interesting choices and came up with really, really, oh my goodness. All right, last one, called Tile Mosaic, circa 1880. Multicolored cotton shirtings and scraps assembled as 16-patch blocks from half-square triangles, 3,344 pieces. And it looks like something from this Joan Wolfram book I just got about basically funky traditional piecing. It's so cool. It's exciting. So everything old is new again, and it's fun. It's really neat to look at this stuff and go, wow, you know, how fresh, how modern, how exciting. And they were doing it in 1880. It fascinates me. It really does. So I thought I would mention that. Alex's article made me think of that. A nice issue of Quilt Life. I think that they're all very nice issues. I also wanted to mention, I got the most recent McCall's Quilting. This one I subscribed to. My mom gave me a subscription. Oh, very nice. And it has, I guess, what I'm assuming is an annual design competition. I think it is, because I remember last year, the winning quilt, which was an art quilt. And it was amazing. And I remember when I got that issue and saw that quilt, I was like, oh, I want to make something like that. So I think that must have been from their design. And I think maybe there's online voting involved. So maybe there's a slate of finalists that are picked, and then you actually go online and vote for the quilt you love. But anyway, design competition. And by the way, if you're interested, the deadline is coming up really quickly, and they have two categories, one for professional quilters, I'm assuming people who actually get paid, have been paid at some point for their work, and then amateurs. That would be me. Although I'm not doing this, because I saw it, and I was like, oh, exciting. I would love to design my own quilt and submit a picture of it in 3 weeks. That's not going to happen. But I'm thinking about it for next year. I think that would be a really fun challenge, and I think we should challenge ourselves. I think we should all do this. I think we should enter McCall's Quilting Design Challenge for 2013. So start thinking about that now and designing your quilt. I'm trying to remember if I mentioned earlier all the good classes that are going on at Thimble Pleasures. I do want to take the art quilt class, which is coming up in June, and I'm going to ask for my birthday. It's two Saturdays, and I think it will be fabulous. They are also doing a class in sashiko, which is a Japanese stitching technique. Interestingly enough, I had just watched the latest quilt show episode with the most fabulous Pepper Corey, and that's what she does, and she showed us how to do it. I was actually doing some sewing as she was showing her technique. So I missed some of it, but it was funny. It was one of those weird zeitgeisty, all is one in the universe kind of things, because I watched that And then when Sandy and I went to Thimble Pleasures on Saturday, there it was, the Chico class coming up. I was like, wow, how cool is that? And I might take it. I don't know. I can't remember now when it is. But it was, I think, on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm interested. I feel like I've said before, I feel like I'm about on the verge of a big Japanese quilting kick. Have you ever felt that? Like you're just about to get into something new and you really don't have the time or the money to get into something new, but you feel your attention being drawn. And some things are quite immediate, but the Japanese quilts and the quilt blocks and the taupe stuff, it's been very subtle and slow, just sort of slowly getting my attention over a period of months. Now there's so much I want to do, so much I want to do. And every day, you know, I tell myself that I have this 2-hour block of time in the afternoon from about 3:30 to 5:30. But I don't really. I mean, most days I do. That's 3:30 is usually when I'm home for good. I've got Jack picked up. I've got Will picked up. We're home. They're doing homework or doing their computer time. And we eat fairly late, so I don't usually need to get dinner going until about 5:30. So I think of having that 2 hours. But it's always interrupted, and I find there are always a million things to do. And if I'm not been on my game, then I still have to clean the kitchen before I start cooking, and so what have you. So sometimes I think I feel right now I'm working rather slowly, and so I have to remember Sandy's slow quilting movement over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. It's okay. Sometimes I think when you do a podcast, you feel like I should be producing, I should have stuff to talk about, but I know you know that I'm only human, and you don't have huge expectations of me. That would be a mistake if you did. But I mean, that's, as I've talked about before, is actually one of the wonderful things about having a podcast, other than being in community with you, have a little bit of pressure to work. And so that's very good. But there's sometimes when I have to remind myself, it's something I do for fun. And if I want to read a book instead, I can read a book instead. In fact, guess what? I'm going to end up here because I got a new book today. Very excited. It's All the Rage. It's on the New York Times bestseller list, which I think is interesting. Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking by Susan Cain, who, by the way, has a delightful TED Talk. Do you listen or watch the TED Talks on, I guess you get them via YouTube. So many interesting speakers, but she was quite delightful and funny. So I'm looking forward to reading this as a dedicated introvert myself. It's you know, takes one to know one. So I'm looking forward to having many great insights about why I do what I do, because so far my insights are few and far between. So yes, I'm going to finish this up. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye. I will eat my tail tomorrow and do the introduction and comments. I thank you for all your comments, as always. And I hope this finds you happy and well and getting your own work done, but also taking care of yourself. Maybe instead of quilting, you need to take a rest. I've been thinking about that lately. Not so much taking a rest instead of quilting, but the importance of self-care and self-love so that we can go out and love others. You know, I think there's something to that. Or maybe it's just an excuse to take a nap, one or the other. But I do hope you have a great week, and I will see you next week. Oh, and guess what? My mom's going to be here. So probably not next week, but the week after. You'll get to hear some mom talk. It'll be good for you. All right. Talk to you later.